Every one of us is being battered by storms, and every one of us is wondering in some way whether we are going to survive the storms. Are we going to weather the storms? Are we going to make it to the other side? As a matter of fact, there are some people here who have even lost sight of the other side. You're not even sure that there is an other side there, or at least you can't even see the other side. And you're rowing just as hard as you know how to row. You're rowing in every way you know how to row, but you are getting nowhere because the winds and the billowing waves just keep washing over you and just keep pushing you back farther and farther, and you are taking on water, and you are starting to panic big time. You are saying to yourself, what am I going to do? What is going to become of me? Everybody is afraid of something. Yes, even you. Yes, even you. Every one of us is afraid of something. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, whether you are young or whether you are older, everybody is afraid of something. And so here's what I want you to do right now. Let's set the tone for where we are going. You could even take out the bulletin, the order of service bulletin. And on the notes page for the morning message, I've even written out a couple questions for you. I put a little blank there and I say in that notes section, write down what you are most afraid of right now. So you're thinking about it because you're afraid. You're afraid. And some of you are even terror stricken. So I want you to write down what you are most afraid of right now. What is your deepest fear? And then I want you to think about it as we have this fresh encounter with the I Am, this fresh encounter with Jesus Christ, because not only did Jesus come to them and say, I am, you do not need to be afraid. Not only did he appear to them, but we do believe, don't we? Isn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is the I Am always existent and always equally existent at all places, all times, in everybody's lives? And so if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then that I Am who came to them in their boatload of fear, in their fiercest storm, and said, I am, you do not need to be afraid. Jesus is here right now, and he is telling you the same thing. We want to have that fresh encounter with Jesus even here this morning. Every one of us is afraid because every one of us is a sinner by nature. You may be a believer, and you may be an unbeliever, but every one of us is a sinner by nature, and fear is just one of the essential characteristics of our broken, fallen, sinful nature. Every one of us needs the same assurance from the Lord Jesus Christ that we do not need to be afraid. Fear is one of the very first human responses to the curse of sin. So let's start out right here. We're going to be talking about how to deal with our fear, how Jesus teaches us to deal with our fear. But I'm telling you, you will never understand fear. You won't even know what fear is or how to define it or how to describe it. Certainly won't know how to deal with it until, first of all, you recognize the source of fear and the origin of fear. And the source of fear and the origin of all fear is sin. Before there was sin in the world, there was no fear. There was nothing to be afraid of. Whenever the new world order is brought in, the new heaven and the new earth, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that there will be nothing to hurt or destroy in all of God's holy mountain. There will be nothing to be afraid of in the new world order. That's because sin will have been eradicated. But we are in the old world order right now, and we are confronted with fear because of our sin. So sin is being out of the favor of God, being out of sync with God, being out of sorts with God, and that's where fear comes from. The first words out of Adam's mouth when he was confessing his sin to God was, his first words were, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. That's where it all started. God had created them without sin. They were in perfect sync and harmony with God. They were in perfect fellowship with God. Adam had heard the voice of God in the garden before in previous days, but he had never been afraid. But now he has sinned, Adam and Eve have disobeyed God. They have opted out of this governance, this relationship of love. They've opted out of the authority of God. They've taken that authority upon themselves. And so for the first time in his existence, Adam recognizes that not only has he disobeyed God, not only has he died spiritually to God, but Adam recognizes that he is out in this world that he just broke. He is on his own, and God is against him. And so he is afraid, and that's where all of our fear comes from. We just sang in the song just now, and John says over in 1 John, perfect love cast out fear. The only way to cast out fear is by knowing that you're in the perfect love of God. Until you're in the perfect love of God, then you're going to be suffering with a boatload of fear. And so every one of us is afraid of something. You may be afraid of a past event or even the memory of a past event. It may be your present circumstance. It may be those tyrannical future what ifs. What ifs? There is nothing that can produce a panic attack, an anxiety attack, like a passing thought that comes through our mind. What if? What if? It may never if, but what if? And so we are terrorized by these thoughts. We're traumatized by these thoughts. Your fears may be physical and medical, and often is. Your fears may be financial or job related or related to your livelihood, and often is. Your fears may be related to your relationships, and often is. Your fear may be the final fear of death, and it often is. I was talking to a woman several days ago now, and she was talking to me about her fears. And she said to me, she said, the thing that I fear most is dying. I'm just scared to death of dying. And I was glad to tell her, of course I was thinking about all this anyway, and I was glad to tell her, you don't have to be afraid of dying, because this is the gospel. The gospel is that when Jesus came and first encountered us in our sin and our brokenness and in our fears, he came to take on that sin. He came to take on that death. He came to take on the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and then deliver all of those who all their lifetime were subject to a lifetime of fear and slavery to fear because of that death. Because when Jesus came and lived a perfect life and then went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins, what he did was he took not only our sin away, but then by raising again from the dead, he brought us eternal life and brought us favor with God and reconciliation with God and forgiveness with God. And because of that, he takes away death and he takes away the fear of death. And so we have no fear in death, we have no fear in life, because Jesus Christ has come to us and says, I am, and this is my good news to you, you don't have to be afraid. So let's get back into the boat. So you're in your boat right now, and our church is in our boat, and we're in the middle of a storm, and we've got a boatload of fear, sometimes a lifetime of fear. And so Jesus is going to teach us how to deal with our fear. So in the stories that we have read and the other, I'm just going to refer to some of the other accounts. I'm going to give you this morning four directions that the Lord Jesus gives us how to deal with this boatload of fear that we often find ourselves in. Here is instruction number one. How do you deal with your fear? How does Jesus deal with our fears by being the I am? The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to trust Jesus to know that you're going to have to trust Jesus that he knows what he is going to do. One of the reasons I had Alan to read John chapter 6 this morning is whenever they were between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning on that dark and stormy night. But that was only the culmination of a lot of events that had happened the day before. And so the day before was when they were confronted with the challenge of feeding this multitude. And so in John chapter 6, this was their first encounter with fear, because they have all of these people that are gathered around them, and Jesus comes to his disciples. They come to Jesus and they say, Lord, you need to send these people away because it's getting late and it's getting towards supper time. And you see, how many people were there? You know, 5,000 men plus women and children. So do we have 5, 10, 15, 20, 25,000 people that are gathered together? And so the disciples are saying to Jesus, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Jesus says, well, feed them. And they're stricken with fear. They've got a panic attack. And Philip says to him, he says, Lord, you know, if we had an average salary of a laborer, 200 denarii, even if we had that much, we couldn't even get everybody a White Castle slider. I mean, we can't even feed everybody a little bit, much less feed everybody. And Jesus says, John says in John chapter 6 and verse 6, you need to mark this in your Bible. Open up your Bible and you need to mark this. And every time you are gripped by fear and stricken by fear of the unknown and fear of what you cannot control and fear of what you are afraid is going to hurt you or harm you in some way, you just need to remember Jesus knows what he is going to do. John chapter 6 and verse 6 says this, but he said this to test him because he himself knew what he was going to do. You have, I discovered this years and years ago. I have lived with fear pretty much all of my life. And I don't want to even talk about it. But I know fear. I know how to feel fear. I know how, I've learned a little bit, I think, about how to deal with fear. But years ago, I found this scripture. I found this scripture that said Jesus knows what he's going to do. And I can trust that. I can rest in the fact that Jesus knows what he is going to do. And so every circumstance that comes into our life, every crisis that comes into our life, it says that Jesus said this to him. Jesus said, you feed him. Jesus said this to him to test him because Jesus knew what he was going to do. Philip didn't know what he was going to do. Jesus tells Thompson Road Baptist Church, you feed your city, feed your community with the gospel, with the word of life. We're committed to that. We're trying to find our way in that. And sometimes we say, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to succeed at this? I mean, are we going to be able to reach people? Are we going to be able to contact people? Are we going to be able to make friends? Are we going to be able to talk to people? Are we going to be able to communicate the gospel? Is Jesus going to save people? Are we going to baptize people? Are people going to be added to the church? We don't know, but we're committed to it. And sometimes we get afraid, and sometimes we have conflicts among ourselves and disagreements among ourselves, and that adds to our fear. Jesus knows what he is going to do. And we've got to trust him. We've got to believe that Jesus knows where he's going. And Jesus knows what he is going to do. And so this is actually what set up for the events that are going to transpire later on that evening. And so these crises of fear, these crises of faith, began very early the day before they were out on the sea in the middle of the storm with a boatload of fear that night. And so we've got to learn that when crises, and sometimes our crises come in boatloads as well, and sometimes our crises just kind of multiply and layer one upon another, and it just exacerbates our fear and our trauma and our panic and anxiety. But Jesus is already in our future. Jesus is already in your future. You don't know what you're going to do. You have no idea what you're going to do. Jesus knows what he's going to do, and you need to trust him. Because wherever your future is, and whatever's going to happen in your future, Jesus is already there, and he knows what he is going to do. Jesus knows what he's going to do in our church. Jesus knows what he's going to do in our community. And so they should have learned that. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because in Mark's account, I want you to listen to this now. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 52, here is the way Mark concludes his rendering of this story. Mark says in Mark 6 and verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. They should have not been panic-stricken in the boat that night. I don't care how fierce the storm is. They should not have fear. They should not have been panic-stricken. They should have learned from that teachable moment the day before when Jesus said, I know what I'm going to do. And but that whizzed by them. That did not register because, as we're going to find out next, their minds were on other things. They were distracted. And so they didn't get the lesson. They did not learn the lesson of that teachable moment that Jesus always knows what he is going to do. So I want you to just log that in, and you need to make that commitment right now. How are you going to deal with your fears? Number one, you need to know Jesus knows what he's going to do. And all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to God's purpose. Jesus knows what he is going to do. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid because he's here and he knows what he's going to do. All right, so then the second step to deal with your fear, you need to understand that Jesus knows what he's going to do. Secondly, you need to examine your relationship with Jesus Christ. Every time, and this is what I've learned over years and decades of dealing with fear, every time I'm stricken with some kind of fear or panic attack or anxiety attack, every time these things come on, I ask myself, okay, where are you in relation to Jesus? How are you standing in relation to Jesus Christ? Mark chapter 6 and verse 45, here's what I want to take off on. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45 says this, immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he sent the multitude away. Now here's the point I want to make. You need to examine your relationship with Jesus Christ, because what I'm going to show you is the disciples in the boat later on that night, they were already out of sorts with Jesus. We have no idea what kind of conversations were going on in the boat. But they're out of sorts with Jesus. They didn't want to be in the boat to begin with. And both Matthew and Mark will use the same word. It says here, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. This is a very strong word. It's a word that means not just to insist, but it means to coerce. It means to compel. It means to leave them no choice or option. And here is Jesus with his disciples. Now, we've just fed over 5,000 men besides women and children. And what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to shut this thing down. There's a kind of a spontaneous flash mob political rally that began to break out there because John says over in John chapter 6 and verse 14, they saw the miracle that Jesus performed and they said, whoa, this is our prophet that is to come into the world. And they're having kingdom agenda eruptions in their minds and their thinking and the crowd. In verse chapter 6 and verse 15 of John, the crowd came and tried to take him by force to draft him to be their king. And so Jesus is having to shut this thing down. And that's when he told his disciples, get into the boat. And they're thinking, no. Do you understand? Do you understand what's happening here? We're about to have the kingdom. You know, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? It's a ready-made opportunity. We can bring in the kingdom. And Jesus is thinking, no, this is not my agenda. You're out of sync with my agenda. You're out of sorts with my agenda. You've got your own kingdom agenda. And you're trying to use me for your own kingdom agenda. And they're kind of sympathizing with the people. And Jesus says, get into the boat. And they say, we don't want to get into the boat. And he says, get into the boat. He made them get into the boat and go to the other side. Now, what I'm saying is this. If they had been in sync with Jesus, if they'd been on the same page with Jesus, if they had been in fellowship with Jesus, if they had been in agreement with Jesus, if they had simply said, you know, we really don't understand, but you tell us to get in the boat, so we're going to get into the boat and we're going to trust you. They were not trusting Jesus. They were second-guessing Jesus' own kingdom agenda. So anytime you've got fear, if you're an unbeliever, then obviously that's at the root of your problem, and you need to have a faith encounter with Jesus Christ. You need to believe in His death on the cross and His resurrection from death and to justify you and forgive you of your sins and make you right with God. But these are disciples. These are Jesus' followers, and they're out of sync with Jesus. They've got different ideas about Jesus' agenda. And so anytime we are filled with fear, it's because we're trying to do something on our own. We've got some kind of different idea than Jesus has. And so Jesus will come to you in your personal life, in your boatload of fear. He will come to us in our church, in sometimes our boatload of fear. And the Lord Jesus will say, no, just I've got a plan here. I've got an agenda. And the agenda is relatively simple. Let's feed the community. Let's feed the neighborhood. Let's feed the city. Let's feed all the people you know, the contacts you know, with the bread of life. And if they won't come to hear the gospel, then have a fall festival and have it at a time when you ordinarily would be having your evening service. But if they're uncomfortable with coming inside, then meet them outside and feed them some chili. And have some fun with them and get to know them. And then maybe the next time when you have a service inside and you're distributing the bread of life, then they might be a little bit more comfortable to come in since they've already met you. And so the Lord is telling us, He says, I know what I'm doing. So don't try to get ahead of me. Don't try to do anything other than or differently than I am doing. And so let's be sure that we're in fellowship with Jesus. Let's examine our relationship with Him and be sure that we're thinking what He is thinking and doing what He's doing and going where He is going. Thirdly, here's how you deal with your fear. You have to trust that Jesus knows what He's going to do. You have to examine your relationship with Jesus Christ. The third thing, you've got to believe this. You have to know that Jesus is praying for you. And so here's what's happening back on the land. Jesus says, get into the boat and head for the other side. So they do. And then the Bible says in every one of these accounts, Jesus sent the multitude away. He shut the thing down. I mean, they were trying to take Him by force, to make Him their political king. And Jesus wouldn't have any of it. And so He sent them away. He shut it down and sent them all back home. And then He's traumatized. I mean, you know, Jesus had feelings. Jesus got upset. And so Jesus says, I need to go up into the mountain to pray. Because, you see, before the feeding of the 5,000, you know why they were there? They were there because Jesus and His disciples were actually trying to get away. They were actually trying to get away on a little retreat. They were trying to find a secluded place so they could go and just kind of chill for a while and rest and rejuvenate. But the crowd intercepted them, and so Jesus then fed the multitudes that day and so forth. And so Jesus is exhausted. And so Jesus goes up into the mountain and he says, Father, I just want to come back. I want to spend some time with you. Want to strengthen my own resolve and strengthen my own spirit. So while Jesus is up in the mountain praying, then nighttime falls, and then this horrible storm swoops down the mountainsides into the little bowl that the Sea of Galilee sits in, and the wind starts circulating around in that little bowl down there, and they are in for the storm of their lives. And so the Bible says in Matthew's account and in Mark's account that Jesus saw them. He saw them. He's up in the mountain praying and He sees them. He knows where they are and He sees them rowing. And they're rowing for everything that they are worth, but they're getting nowhere. And so then finally Jesus says, okay, Father, it's time for me to go down and encounter them with my presence and with my name. And so while you are in your boatload of fear, and you're taking on water, and like the other account, when they were in the storm and Jesus was asleep down in the stern, you're sure you're going to drown. Master, wake up. Don't you see? Don't you care? We're dying. We are perishing. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for you. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with the feeling of our infirmities. But our high priest was tested. He was tested with every fear that you're tested with. He was tested with every sin, with every temptation that you are tested with. He was tested in every way that we are tested, and yet without sin. Therefore, let's come confidently and boldly to a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is praying for you. Listen, if Jesus is praying for you, you're going to be okay. You don't need to fear. You don't need to fear. Jesus is praying for you. And he always gets what he prays for. And then the fourth instruction is, watch for him to come. Watch for him to come. Look for Jesus to come to you and encounter you in your hour of fear. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. When Jesus was walking on the sea, you remember the old song, Riders on the Storm? Jesus is actually walking on the storm. I mean, everything is under his feet. We think everything is coming apart. No, the storm is solid to Jesus. The storm waters are solid to Jesus. Here comes Jesus walking on the very elements that you think are going to take you down. And Jesus is walking on them, finding footing on them. And so he comes to them in the dark of night, and they think they're seeing a ghost. And Jesus is kind of tweaking them. He kind of acts like he's going to just pass by them. And they shriek out in fear. And Jesus says, I am. You don't have to be afraid. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. I am. Watch for Jesus to come to you. Then he got up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled. I am is here right now. This very word that I'm delivering to you, not only did it actually happen, but this very word is the living word of God, and I am is here encountering you right now by the truth and the power and the spirit of this message. I am encounters us when we pray. I am encounters us when we read his word. I am encounters us when we believe in him and when we trust in him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever comes to God, whoever has an encounter with God, whoever makes contact with God, must believe that God exists, that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so through his word, I am is coming to you. And I am is telling you right now, I want you to trust me. Just trust me. I know what I'm going to do. I want you to examine your relationship with me. I want you to know that I'm praying for you, that I'm interceding for you. And I have come. I have come to save you. I have come to deliver you. I don't know what was going on in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. I just know that Paul was having a panic attack one night. And people were being saved, but for some reason, the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, Paul, do not be afraid. Just keep on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. Church, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Just go on speaking. Let's just go on speaking. And if God is for us, nobody's going to be against us, not even him who has the power of death, that is the devil himself. Because the gates of Hades shall not withstand against us. All the very time that you are afraid, you don't have to be afraid. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord, that's Yahweh, I am, is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And so Jesus has come to you. Will you come to Jesus? Will you receive the Lord Jesus, His encounter with you by faith, by His gospel, by His word? And by faith, will you not only receive Him into your life, but by faith, may we receive Him into our church? And if we do, there's no need to be afraid. No need to be terrorized. Because I Am says, be of good cheer. I am here. You don't have to be afraid. Let's stand as we pray together.